Hudson.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Banks. Busey.
Here.
Emmanuel.
Here.
Hartke.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Move on to approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item is the approval of the minutes from September 11th. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor, aye.
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 Those opposed? Move on to item 5, public participation. Are we lucky enough to have any public participation?
Well, I hate to let them.
It's your last hurrah here.
I hate to let one go by.
Irish.
I don't have much to say. I'm just kind of laying in the weeds and giving a new group time to get a hold and see if they can make it work. They've had some lumps and bumps along the way, and I will say they're going after them. We'll see how it works out. And if I got some real pertinent stuff, I'll sure let you know. That's the only thing I can think of is the management group part of the managing board?
No, they're not. The board is composed of the members you're used to seeing here. The management group is here to participate in the meeting to address the board, to provide them with information with regard to the operations of the nursing home. Not as voters or policymakers.
Okay.
That's
about all I got, you know. I've not really got a lot tonight.
But we take that as a compliment, so thank you.
Well, I don't want to see green beans. I don't want to see too many more green beans this week, though. But I mean, that's another issue.
I keep bringing that stuff up as it occurs. Because as board members, we don't all come here and eat. Not certainly with the frequency of your visits here.
Well,
so
I'll be sure to take that under advisement. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, item number 6, or any other public participation, I'm sorry. No. Item number 6, communications. Any communications for the board or from board members? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 7, the management update. Item A is financial report.
I think you all got a copy of the summary, right? And I think that within 30 or 60 days, I think you can see there's already been some positive changes. Census is climbing up. I know that it's June, July, and August. It says 132. We were 135. I think we're 135 today. This morning we were 133, and now we've got 2 admits in today. So we're 135. Is that with Bethel? I'm not exactly sure. Okay. So it is moving up. I didn't happen to look how many Medicare we had, but I think we've been averaging about 6 or 7. And the net revenue is consistent, you know, if you can see there, with going up. Operating expenses have gone down and declining because of a lot of the changes that we made. I think that September numbers will probably show a lot more. Everything else is pretty much consistent. I think we're moving in a really good direction. Does anybody have any questions, or Tom can answer also? Tom, if you want to answer.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you and Joyce and Kim, maybe describe the nursing reductions. That's really the biggest improvement over the 3 months. You can see it goes from 518 to 461. And I know we've changed some contract people out to salary and hired more people so we could serve the patients better, those types of things. You guys probably have more insight than I do on these.
Yeah, I think it's been, we're able to get the overtime down, and we're trying to keep the quality up. Of course, we're looking at every discharge back to the hospital. We look at everyone to try to see, should we have caught something? Was there something that we could have done to have prevented that person going back? And the nursing department, they're pretty good with being on top of that and watching that. And something new that's coming out now for, you know, with CMS, every time you turn around, there's something new. And now the new thing coming out November the 17th, or is it just November 2017? It's what's called Phase 2. And Phase 2 is this big, huge plan that CMS has put in place. And what it requires is a facility assessment. And it's a 32-page facility assessment that has to be done anytime there's major changes. So what we do in order to compile that, we have to look at a lot of our MDS data, the type of resident that we're caring for, and all built into that is a lot of the emergency preparedness. So we have to make sure that we are prepared for any kind of an emergency. I remember years ago, you had to be worried about if you had a bomb threat, what did you do? Or if you had some train or bus wreck out on the highway, what would you do if you got a lot of influx? And now there's just all sorts of things that's coming up now. You know, your air conditioning, your flooding, I think even a terror attack, all these kinds of things that right. We have to put together a plan. So it just is going to take a lot of time and input.
Yeah, and you may hear, I know the Gazette was interested in, just because of all the things that have been happening throughout the country, in talking to us about emergency preparedness. So I think they were supposed to talk to all the facilities, but I'm not sure anyone responded to them. So I told them we would talk to them when we were here. So I may reach out to them and see.
We'll be back on Thursday try to get with them and let them know that we are putting our plan in place, that for any emergency we feel like we're prepared, and if we're not prepared, it's something that we can't deal with, that we'll have different organizations that we could transport our residents.
Because we have agreements, right? Yeah. We have agreements, and I think that was a concern. Yeah. I think you've all heard about the situation in Florida, mm-hmm. and I think that's promoted in a lot of asking questions all around the country, what would happen. And so, that facility was right next door to the hospital. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy, but 12 residents died so far. That's the count that's gone up. But on a really positive note, we, Joyce and I and Kim and Michelle Morgan, today, our DON and our new marketing person, Alicia, had a very large presentation at Carle Clinic. It was really, I thought, went really well. 50 people we were supposed to speak in front of. And it was a room full of nurses, a room full of social workers, through all different types of people that deal with discharge planning and the residents going to post-acute services. And we gave them an in-service. We taught them about survey compliance, regulatory compliance. We spoke to them about discharge planning, because I've actually been a discharge planner for the hospitals as well prior to me coming here. So, we could see both sides. So it really was interesting, and I think it went really, really well. And I also talked to them about November 14th, which is next month, which is the board meeting, actually, the full board meeting. But it's also going to be the big university-sponsored presentation that we're putting together, and the university was so happy about it that not only is the School of Social Work involved in it, but now the law school is involved in it and possibly the med school. So it's going to be really big. We're excited to invite everybody in healthcare, lawyers, hospitals, nursing homes, any kind of healthcare arena, plus all of the alumni from those colleges. So we're holding it at the I Hotel. Is that the name of it? It's a new hotel. Mm-hmm. and it's going to be November 14th. So we're just teasing with all the brochures and things that I'm going to be back here on Thursday. We're going to be meeting with Carl and Presence and OSF, the new Presence, with Kathy Emanuel too. And so we'll probably meet with the university also to finalize all the PR for that. But there's a lot of really exciting
and
things.
With the focus on all of this is Champaign County
Nursing Home. Nursing Home is going to be one of the sponsors.
Typically the Carl Clinic does not like for anyone to come in and specifically name their nursing home, mm-hmm. but because this was such an educational program and that we gave CEUs for it, we were able to sort of splice that in just a little bit.
Right. So we actually submitted our presentation to them before for mm-hmm. approval for the one that we did today to make sure that it would meet
okay.
their criteria for education. And they were really excited when they saw it. So I thought it went over well. And we gave the CUs out today. We were prepared. We had all the certificates. And it was really nice. So I think that we're on a good
So we're hoping
road.
To see a huge influx in census.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure that the facility is prepared with, we have someone that's been working with Alicia, the new marketing person, community outreach, been working with her on a weekly basis to make sure that everything inside is ready when that new resident arrives, that we're ready and able to take care of whatever that need is.
Any questions of SAK?
I have a couple questions on the financials.
Yes.
I know that we talked about the nursing services, and I know that some of the discussion has been, obviously, been some reduction in, I think you mentioned, Joyce, overtime. So I'm trying to figure out what the biggest reason for the nursing service decline, because I know that you also hired more RNs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that overall nursing mm-hmm. services FTEs probably declined because census declined.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of, I guess what I'm interested in is how the staffing ratio is at this point.
Yeah, the staffing ratio is we've not decreased the staff. We have
increased. We've hired.
Yeah.
That's what.
We've
right.
Some of the administrative staff has been decreased.
Right.
And
so would they be under this category of nursing services, do you think?
I'm not sure.
There's maybe a few. There was across, it was all administrative. It wasn't, there were no direct care
mm-hmm.
Positions. And part of that, Kathy, honestly, was because there was so much overtime.
Bonus.
And you're
bonus.
Paying straight time instead of overtime, and
yeah.
that's where a lot of your decreases
right.
are.
Right, plus
right.
in addition and bonuses.
And those bonuses,
bonuses
yes.
And,
yeah.
and you know, all we did was just hire people for the slots that were there because people were, you know.
But Tim, the ratio has not decreased.
Oh, gosh.
No.
And I knew there were administrative positions, so I assumed that some of the operating expense decline would be some of the reduction in administrative expenses. As you say, that should show up some more in September, I would think. Or maybe it's not there, maybe it's
some
in another
of the
category.
Changes were done right away. We tried to do them as quickly as possible, but probably more will show up in September because some people we had to give 30-day contracts.
Some separations were in August too, I believe, weren't
right.
they? So those won't show up. Yeah.
Right.
So what category do you think they would show up in, Tom, when those expenses decline?
Looks like professional services is the one that declined from 33 to 12.
Okay.
And so that's
and then in your little summary, what would that just be under operating expenses?
That's in the nursing
service. Okay, that's right. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then can you update us on what's happening with the Medicaid accounts? Where I saw you've got the Medicaid pending here, and it looked like that's up. I don't, you might just be accounting for it differently. But I'm wondering how the Medicaid applications are going. Can you give us any kind of update on that?
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're confirming all of it because the person that was handling it was, I think, recently let go last month. And so we're confirming all of the accounts to see all the information that we all have. So once that is confirmed at what place we are with the applications, then we're going to possibly use that other firm. We've contacted them, and they're going to take it on, but we've got to give them clean books before we can give it to them so that they know where things are at with each individual resident that's pending.
What other firm are we looking at to do that?
So there was a group we talked about at the, oh, we talked about this, I think, at the county board meeting.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe at the county board meeting.
Yeah, so there's a firm that's part lobbyist and part consulting, and they have hired a lot of the people from the Macon County office, and they're the ones that will know how to go in and move the case is a little bit quicker than what they've, where the state is at right now.
Is that S4?
Yes.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
S4. I was asking if it was S4, the name of the firm.
That's the name of the firm.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what our number of unprocessed applications is at this point?
I don't know. I don't think we know off the top of our head. Yeah.
Just wondering if it was affecting the cash flow at all.
So the more Medicaid pendings you have, the
right.
more uncertainty you have on the cash flow.
Right.
But I don't know the history compared to what it is currently.
Yeah, and we, again, we talked about this at the last meeting, too. We did a lot of backfilling. So, actually...
And that's why, that was the other question I was going to, I'm thinking that might be part of why the net revenue is up, because I'm thinking net revenue would be down to some extent just compared to, well, maybe not compared to June and July, just compared to year-to-date, because census
August,
is down.
August, we actually, we made changes, but the big change is I think will come, that you'll see them in August, because... took more than 30 days to go in and do the sequential billing. So, you're going to see as time goes on. Plus, we're catching a lot of revenue that was incorrectly. There was a lot of incorrect, how shall I say it? Some of the billing, some of the people were even recognized in the system incorrectly. So we've corrected a lot of the current people that may have had, that may have now monies due because it was incorrectly billed or incorrectly
coded.
Yeah.
And one of the things I know you all talked about was the Medicaid rate and if we might be able to increase that. Do you have any...
We're working
thoughts
on
about that.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't happen.
You still think?
Overnight.
No. I just wondered if you still thought that was a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
You're working on.
Yeah, because you're at the absolute lowest you can be.
Right.
So we're working on that. That takes at least 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months, I think.
But
it
you
really
think
takes.
The potential is still there?
Oh yeah. We that was one of the first things that we immediately we did teaching training and. By the time it hits, it'll probably be 6 months. They're still working on that, right, Kim?
So there's two opportunities. There's the acuity side of it, and then there's the capital side.
Oh, the capital side, too. I did not think I knew there was the acuity.
Right.
Did we ever find out if some of those improvements from last year were included in the cost report or not, you know? Where we had the fire dampers and
right.
the...
We did. We've talked to them, and I think that we were still waiting to see what was happening because they used the value of $20 million, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure, but if it was appraised at $20 million, then I'm not sure that that came out as 10%. I think that was the issue.
Is that the bar they have to cross?
And unfortunately, there was a ton of stuff that you guys did that you should have, if there was any way to get credit, I don't know. I don't think there was a lot done this year now, recently, but that last year you had a lot. So.
In 2017, I don't think there's been much.
If we can capture it, we're gonna capture whatever we can capture. It'll be late, but I'll follow up with that with the accountants. But it's 10% of the value.
No opportunity for any retroactive. Recapping of any
of the
that
capital. I don't know if I can, but we will if we can. We will for sure, because there's a lot of money that was spent.
So again, on the net revenue, it's a great trend. As you said, it's consistent, but it's really up a little bit. But it's at a time when our census is kind of going down a little bit, so I'm wondering if you can just explain it. It's good. It's not. I'm not being critical. I'm just trying to understand it.
Well, the census is moving back up.
August to July would.
Well, you're looking.
Down.
Yeah, again.
But
remember, there's a lot of changes that were occurring during this period of time and everything. But the census, as of yesterday or
right.
The day before, we were at 135. So
right. I was just trying to understand the July to August difference in revenue.
Uh-huh.
So at that time, the volume was down a little bit and the revenue's up. Again, really good. I'm just trying to understand what accounted for it. I thought maybe you could.
I don't know, Tom.
So it's just so close that it's hard to evaluate.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of little numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, we've been backfilling a lot of money too. There's a lot of backfilling that's been going on.
Would you refresh my memory? Is the cost report normally done annually, and then are there options for changes at all during the year? I don't
cost
remember.
Cost reports are done March and June.
So it's
so March is Medicaid and in June is Medicare.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on the financial report or questions of SAK?
Any other thoughts on where we might be with accounts receivable? You may have answered this at the county board too, but
yeah, so
are there projections on the collections?
Yeah, so we talked about it at the county board meeting. We're working with two different companies. One is this lobbyist group for the pendings to see if there can be a difference. And the second, we're working with the long term past the 90 days, I think, plus past a year and going forward. And so, again, you know, as soon as we have anything to report, we will. So we're having to go through and really analyze the accounts before we give up. So I would say within the next 30 to 60 days, you'll see
you'll
something.
Have a better sense of it.
Yeah, because
you haven't done reprojections. I was not at the county board,
yeah,
so I didn't know if you'd done reprojections on account on a area. You haven't.
We have the S4 group that is predominantly Medicaid and the Medicaid pending.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've interviewed three collection companies. And we're going to pick one that's going to come down here.
But because you haven't picked any of those yet, you haven't done reprojections on what you think the collections is for any of that area. That's really.
They're going to have to get.
They're
going to
work on that, yeah.
Kind of
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what's.
And we have to
right.
give them the information, not all jumbled up. There's a lot of work that we're
oh, yeah.
working on that before we hand it off.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks.
Work in progress.
It is.
All right, then we'll move on to item number 8, which is the fiscal year 2018 budget. Mr. Schneider will address this?
Sure. So in your packet, you should have a copy of the proposed budget. This is, it's been developed over a number of weeks working with SAK, and we...
It's in the back of the agenda pack.
Yeah. It looks like this with lots of columns on it. There's a front back to it.
And it's the same that you took to the committee of the whole, right?
Right. And so we really started from scratch developing this. I think it was a good exercise, though, because it gave SAK the opportunity to go through the numbers in detail and understand where our expenses were going, where our revenues were. So what we've done is we prospectively, there's two budgets here, there's a budget A and a budget B. Budget B is a derivation of budget A, so let me explain what budget A is. Budget A is essentially a status quo budget, except that it does not include debt service reimbursement. You'll remember that the nursing home for the past several years has been asked to pay the general fund a reimbursement of the general obligation bond debt service. That was for the $4 million bond that covered all the remedial work that was done after the initial construction was done. So that's about $280,000 for fiscal year 18. So we've been able to provide relief from that. So nursing home will be paying that in this budget scenario, well, actually the budget scenario. This also includes some census improvement, anticipating, I forget what the average number is for census for FY18, but I think the start of the year at about 144, is that right?
To start 2018, I think it was.
2018.
What was it, 154 or 144?
The end of 2017 was like $1.4 million loss.
No, census.
Oh, census. Yeah, that's right. It's about $1.144 million.
And then it inclines slightly over the course of the year. I think it goes up into like around 155.
154, 155.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a moderate increase in census. Hopefully with increases in all of the all of payer groups. The budget A also is essentially showing with the reductions in operating expenses to be in balance. Some of the other assumptions though related to this budget are that depreciation is not funded. So if you recall, the depreciation was estimated about $750,000 a year. This also does not include repayment of any of the general fund loans that remain outstanding. You remember that we've borrowed about $350,000 in cash for payroll expenses. We also have the boiler loan at, I think it's down to 226 now. We had, it was 282, but we also received a credit from Illinois DCEO for energy efficiency. And so that was used to reduce the principal amount of the loan. And then we also have... the same issues remaining with accounts payable. We're basically treading water on those, so we'll continue to pay the bills and not allow those to grow any further, but it won't also provide any substantial repayment of the outstanding $4 million.
So you're saying that there's $576,000 about that we would still owe the county that it's not assumed to be paid back in 2018, is that right?
Right, I think it's right around there right now. So.
Okay, and is there anything beyond that we owe that we're not accounting for in there?
Not that I'm aware of. And we have the loan, the cash loans plus the AP, essentially, that's what's owed. I think right now we're at about $1.9 million if you include the IMRF and FICA also, because those haven't been kept up with. But those will mostly be paid off when we issue the tax anticipation warrant in December. So that'll come off of that one point, or almost $2 million.
So you're assuming that we don't have to, under the status quo, there's no assumption about having to borrow any more from the county for some of that, is that correct?
Yeah, we're assuming, and we still have $150,000 left in the credit line. Based on our current cash flow projection, we're hoping that we won't have to touch it any further this year. So
yeah, we were able to make it through September, which was a three payroll month.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And that's because we were able to bill for a lot of the stuff that, you know, was behind, as well as our expenses have been dropping. So hopefully it'll be a good thing.
We did have to draw a little bit. I mean, we had some unexpected vendor demands, as you know. And I had a preview of the auditor's report that will be presented to County Board at the Committee of the Whole next week. So in general, the numbers are stabilizing. We still have seven vendors that are owed more than $100,000, not including the county. However, there was a small amount of progress made on a couple of them, not huge, but we have entered into payment arrangements with at least four companies now. And so Susie and I and the rest of the staff have been taking a lot of time to talk with vendors and make sure they understand where we are with things. So I think that's helped a lot, just so that there's communication going. There hadn't been those discussions with vendors, so they understood. And it's obviously, for some companies, it creates more angst, depending on their ability to carry debt like this. So in the case of our therapy company, they had reached a point where they couldn't extend any further credit, and so we were able to make some accelerated payments using some of the money that was available. So,
and some of the companies we're not doing business with anymore, and so we're able to at least pay off some of those debts. It's not growing.
I mean, one of the things that we're able to do is, like with the dietary services, we're slowly paying off that. Right now, it stands at about $235 that's still owed. However, I know that there's a payment scheduled for them, and I think in the next check run for about $50,000, that'll pay off one of the older invoices. So over time, we'll be able to pay that down. And the good thing is that since we've brought Cisco on board, they're obviously charging significantly less than what we were paying out previously, so it's going to give us an opportunity to get a little bit of catch up on that.
So I'm clear, in the past, the home has not paid FICA, MRIF, somewhere to tune of about $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And starting January, SAK will make those payments?
We'll still be using the money from the levy to cover that over the course of the year.
Pay this year's?
Well, we're always paying in arrears.
Right.
So we're kind of maxed out our credit card here. We're borrowing our revenues for next year to pay off this year's debt. And we'll be in the same position at the end of FY18. We'll still need to issue a tax anticipation warrant to cover.
I didn't look, but is that covered under Plan B then? If influx of cash were to come in, then we would pay off what we didn't pay this in 2018?
Yeah, I think, let me talk a little bit about B then. So Budget A assumes continued operations for a full 12 months of FY18. Budget B assumes that there will be a separation of the home from the county within the first 6 months of 18. So it has 6 months of operating expenditures and 6 months of wind-down expenditures. The wind-down expenditures include 2 months of operating expenditures because we assume that we're going to get probably at least 60 days worth of bills after June. So we've included that at the total. Budget B also assumes that we would be able to pay off in full all the accounts payable that are currently outstanding in loans to the from the county, and also pay off the GO bond debt service. That total at the end of the year will be $1.98 million in principal, and that bond is callable as of December 15th next year. So we wouldn't be able to pay it off any earlier than that. And any,
so we'd pay it off with what? How do we pay it off?
If the home is sold, then the
proceeds
would be dedicated. And that's assuming, and this is speculative, but assuming that we would get at least $11 million minimum bid that's been suggested by the broker. So.
And then could you, I'm not questioning, I'm just trying to get you to repeat what you said that led you to the 1.989, did you say? Is that the IMRF and the?
No, the 1.98 million is for the general obligation bond. That's the principal remaining on the bond at the end of the year.
The $4 million.
The $4 million bond.
And then you'd use that to, but you would need to use it to pay off like the IMRF,
essentially loan that we have, because we would owe IMRF for 2018.
Right, we'll accumulate a certain amount of expense by then, so at least 6 months worth, so.
Yeah. What about the $20 million GO bond?
This would not include repayment of the construction bond.
Okay, this includes repayment of the $20 million original GO bond, the $4 million, which...
I'm sorry, it includes the repayment of the $4 million bond, not the $20 million bond.
And so the county would continue levying that property tax to pay those bond payments?
That's correct, and that would be dedicated to it. It can't be changed. It's not subject to PTEL. It's not part of the county's aggregate base, which means that it can't be reallocated to any other purpose. So it has to be used to pay off the bonds. And those bonds would be retired within 4 years, so 2021 would mark the end of that. And then the levy would drop off at that point. And in the end, assuming, based on the numbers we have today, if we were to receive the minimum bid, that would leave proceeds at the very end of about $3.6 million over and above what's needed to pay for those costs.
And when you call this, I think you said it was wind down, you sort of assume that the first 6 months would be like the first 6 months of Budget A, and then the second 6 months would be no revenue and reduced expenses. Is that right?
Right, we would have those expenses. We'd have to pay back whatever was accrued previously to that. The timing of, depending on what the timing was for a transaction, you know, you would basically, the county would be responsible for all of the expenses up to that point. They would receive any of the revenue up to that point, but they wouldn't get necessarily the revenue or expenditures after that. That would go to whomever was assuming responsibility for the home.
But you haven't assumed a decline over the next 6 months. You haven't assumed the increased deterioration of volume or anything else on the basis of sale. You can assume the first 6 months is status quo.
Right. For either scenario, we've seen the same census projections. And that's based on the fact that we now have a marketing manager in place that we're working, perhaps see some growth in the census. We started getting some new admits with the K. I'm sorry.
Yes,
Kay.
So K.
So,
well, Alicia is the new person here, but K is our marketing consultant that's working with Alicia.
Okay, so we have two people that are actually working.
Yeah.
Here,
so K is our SAK person who is coming here and training Alicia, who has already got experience in. Working with facilities,
she
but
the community.
She, right, but Kay is helping her train to the way we want to portray the community.
So, in as much as the bid price is speculative, so is the census. We believe we can grow the census somewhat between now and the beginning of the year. So we have 3 months essentially to start working with the community, and I know that there's a lot of programming that you guys are pursuing, the massive program in November.
Right.
I don't know how many hundred people are going to be at that.
I'm not exactly sure how many they're expecting, but now that they have two other colleges involved, I think that it's really going to be positive. But what was really important was getting into the hospitals.
Right.
So today's meeting was really crucial. And I think that the facility is seeing admissions from Presence, who soon to be OSF. They never saw those admissions before, as well as Carl on a regular basis. And we've talked a lot about, you know, those types of things today. So I think that the hospitals are really looking at the facility differently.
I completely agree with that under scenario A. I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of things you're doing that your assumptions for census seem reasonable to me. I mean, they're a little optimistic, but you would expect to be a little optimistic. They're not outrageous because they still don't get us back to the level we were.
Yeah,
so
we
I
were
think,
actually no, somewhat no. conservative because
yeah.
we,
so,
think we're,
right.
we think we're gonna
exactly.
we think we're gonna
right.
we're gonna beat it with everything that's going on. But we gave pretty conservative numbers from our perspective
right.
from where we want to be.
But I do think under budget B, if I don't think you could. I mean, who knows what assumptions you'd need to make, and maybe it's not worth that level of detail. But I would expect some of the things that, like the progress that you're making with Carl, if once there's a sale more imminent, I think you'll see that decline. So I just think it may be a little optimistic in terms of the operational results
mm-hmm.
under B.
I think that, you know, this was presented to County Board last week at the Special Finance Committee of the whole meeting. And so I think some people raise the same kinds of questions because, obviously, in either scenario, there are things that if they don't come through that we're going to be faced with finding some way to make up any deficits. So I think the contingencies are going to probably be the same in either scenario. We originally thought that there would be need to be some progress on debt repayment beginning next year, and to make it, you know, more feasible. We've talked about a 3-year plan for that. We've also talked with SAK about options for that and how we might grow census eventually to get it back to approximately, I think, where we were previously, around 180 with the Medicare census of 17 in the payer mix. That, to be conservative, we projected that over a 3-year period. So
getting up to that level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you did that, you have potential of starting to throw off enough money to where the home would be able to reach a point of sustainability. The other side of that is that if we can't achieve that, we still need to make up that difference. And so that would be accomplished through a series of budget cuts, including deferral of capital expenditures. That's something that could be done in FY18 using the general fund budget. We have a rather large expense for replacement of all the public safety radios, mobile and portable units. That could potentially be deferred and allow us to shift some of the money so that we'd have some eligible monies freed up in general fund to cover losses. We would also need to implement staffing reductions across the county to make up the difference. So,
but you're saying you did do a 3-year projection, assuming increased census. So you did more than just this. You did a 3-year projection too. Is that right?
Right. We also took a look at what it came out to be. In both scenarios, it's difficult. We don't see huge numbers in next year at all, no matter what we do with census. But in later years, if you're able to achieve those really, you know, higher numbers, then you potentially might have enough money to start paying down the debt.
Right.
It's
depreciation a little bit, yeah.
So it's, but again, it's all, you know, I think the thing is we have to watch it very closely. The next few months, I think, will be telling as far as whether we can make some improvements in our census.
And that's why we have these big programs that we've really been pushing out.
Well, as
right
you
away.
Say, that's why the meetings with Carl and Presence, I mean, that's what's critical. Those
right.
are the ones who are going to.
We've got signed on cooperation from both of them.
Yeah.
They've both agreed that they're fine with everything and they're willing to work with us at a much higher level than what they have.
Yeah, I think those are terrific.
So we have
to.
So
you have 3-year projections under both scenario A and B?
No.
On scenario, well, A
scenario
is.
Scenario B, there'll be nothing in 3 years.
Right, although.
Right.
Except death.
Right,
cash.
And is that something, did that get shared with the committee of the whole, or is that something the advisory board could see?
No, we actually talked with finance chair about that, so to get some sense of where it could be. There's a lot of assumptions in it, but.
Sure.
Potentially, that's one direction that we could move on this. But again, it's very, very speculative because I'll remind everyone that, you know, the past 7 budgets have also included significant increases in Medicare, which never materialized and for which we all also had deficits each year, at least $1 million in revenue. because of those high projections. So it's not a done deal by any means that we
right.
can
I know,
do it.
I mean, everything's based on the assumptions. You just have to decide how you feel about the assumptions. I just mm-hmm. It'd be good to get to see that so that we have the same picture. Because mm-hmm. as you say, it's letting you sort of say, okay, here's what we're looking at if that happens. I think that would be helpful to get
and
to
I think,
at.
Again, when we did the budget, we were very conservative. We really tried to...
If you make the changes you're talking about, there's absolutely no reason. I mean, we went from 170 to 130 in about 6 months. There's no reason we couldn't go from 130 back up to 170
right.
in 6 months. It'd probably take a little longer than that. It's always harder to go back up. But being at 170, 180 is a very reasonable thing.
And what you're talking about, Kathy, is forecasting, and that's
right.
typically done in March. And so I think there's nothing that precludes the county from doing the forecast in March based on where everything is at that point, which would help with establishing the next budget. But you can't necessarily, I don't think it would impact the budget numbers that we have for 2018.
I don't
point.
Think it would impact the budget numbers 2018. I'm just, I heard Rick say that he had already done some forecasting, and I'm just asking to get to see it. I think it's insightful.
Mm-hmm. Speculative as well.
Josh, please. So I've got a couple things to say here right now. We're talking about assumptions, and I like to base assumptions on where we've seen real facts happen, and I know some facts here. One is that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the nursing home had a 190 census. We were in the black about $900,000, and we were getting a 3- and 4-star rating. So projecting that being a possibility, I don't think is beyond the realm of possibility. The one thing that I can guarantee you that we're making an assumption on in this budget B that is not going to happen, frankly, is a sale of this home. There are not 15 votes on this county board in December or in March or in June of next year to sell this home. So if we go with a 6-month budget that assumes that sale, we are being entirely irresponsible to the residents, to the employees, and to the management company we've hired, because it will not happen. I'm sorry I've been dancing around this for I don't know how long, and I'm sorry if I sound a little frustrated, but frankly, there are not 15 votes to sell this, and there will not be. So I suggest that this nursing home board of directors get, and the county board as well, who needs to listen to this, get ready to deal with the 12-month budget, because it will not be sold. The votes are not there. I can count to 8, 9, 10 no votes to sell this thing right now. So that's just flat-out truth, folks. I think we need to deal with that and quit projecting a sale. And what really has me concerned is listening to the, frankly, to the Committee of the Whole the other night start carving up the proceeds already and what we can do with all this money. I think that's highly irresponsible, because the idea that when we've got 10 people who are ready to sell this thing for a dime on that county board, that some company's going to come in and give us the max return or give us the max offer they can, I think is foolish business on their part. And I tell you, I don't think it even matters, because the assumption that this is going to be sold in 6 months is a completely faulty assumption, and I guarantee you it won't happen, and you can take that to the board. And so I think this board needs to move to push the county board to pass budget A, because we need to be prepared for a 12-month operation next year. And I apologize if I'm a little heated about it, but it's the fact, it's the truth. And we've been dancing around this for a long time, and people go into that county board meeting, they talk like they don't know how they're going to vote. I know darn well how 10 Republicans are going to vote, and they're going to vote to sell it, but I can know darn well how 8 Democrats are going to vote, and they're going to vote to not sell it. So I think we ought to plan for no sale.
Well, the county board will give us that direction.
Well, let me say one more thing. The county board can have 12 votes to pass a 6-month budget, easily done, because I'm sure Ms. Petrie will vote with Republicans. You might have Chris Alex, but there will not be 15 votes to sell it, and I can guarantee you that. So whatever the county board decides to do on this budget, that's 12 votes. So let them make a mistake, and then we have to come back next year in July and August and September and October and November and pass budget amendments to try to clean this up, because it's not going to sell. Because the votes will not be there. Whether we get an offer or not, I can guarantee you the votes are not there.
This advisory board will follow the direction of the county board.
I think this advisory board needs to advise the county board
and make it clear that it is going to be highly responsible for the county board to give us a six-month budget with the sale as an assumption, because that is an assumption that will not happen.
I don't want to get into a debate on whether or not we're going to advise the county board on operational issues and or political.
I'm talking about budgetary issues. Whether we're going to advise the county board on what we need as a budget, as a board of directors, and we need a 12-month operational budget because we are still going to be operating in here in 12 months.
You identified the political aspect of this by bringing up particular parties. So
I'm telling you flat out how the results of the vote are going to go. And you can claim that as partisanship. No, this is the form exactly of discussion as to whether this board wants to recommend a 12-month budget or a 6-month budget. If this board votes for a 6-month budget, ask the county board to give us a 6-month budget, that's accepting that we are going to sell this thing next year. And that's not going to happen, Jack. It's not. You don't have the votes for it.
Very good. All right. Any other questions with regard to, or comments? With regard to the 2018
vote. Yes. Politics aside, I do think we have a responsibility as an advisory board to make a recommendation, and I realize, you know, always our recommendations are subject to the decisions made at the county board, but I do think we have a responsibility to make a recommendation on the budget. And so, you know, I think we both need to ask the questions that we're asking of the budget and then say, what's our recommendation? Because historically, we have made a recommendation. Do we approve this budget and recommend that the county approve it, or do we raise questions about it and think that there are concerns that the county needs to look at? So regardless of what's going to happen with it.
I understand what you're saying.
And I do think my recommendation would be that we make a recommendation on a going concern, as a going concern, understanding. And I think it's appropriate. To look at budget B and have it ready.
Right. Okay.
But I think it would. I hate to budget that way because until there's a vote, we don't want to assume that. I don't feel like we should be assuming that result until we've actually got a vote. And so I also think it's a little bit helpful for the management company if we have a budget that says here's the going concern, because it lets them talk to the nursing home, the hospitals and stuff in a positive way. So that doesn't mean we shouldn't be ready with budget B, but I'd like to be recommending that we proceed with budget A, with knowing that we may need to implement budget B.
Yes. Sam first?
Yeah. Yeah, I think on a practical basis, taking the politics out of it, just on the practical, it seems to me it would be responsible to have a budget based on what we know today. And I can't imagine that we wouldn't budget for a year based on what we know today, not knowing what's going to happen 6 months from now forever or whatever. So also makes sense that if there is a sale, that we also kind of have an idea of a plan B. But in terms of being practical and giving guidance to the management company based upon what we know today, you have to come up with a budget for the year. So I agree. I really agree with what Kathy's saying. It seems to me that would be the practical thing to do, while whoever, politicians and managers, have a plan B in mind, we need to act on what do we need to do, assuming that we're going to be around for the next year and try to operate the home.
And I also would concur, because I believe we are an advisory board, and our role is to make sure that our management company has put together numbers that we find to be credible for the operation of the nursing home. And we are not part of the decision about whether to sell or not sell the nursing home. But I'm not understanding why selling it has to have a separate budget. If you sell it, you still have a budget that will allow the sale to occur, and you won't have to jump through hoops at the last minute because of changes that have occurred. And budget changes require 18 votes, not 15. Oh, I guess they require 15 votes. But so from my perspective too, I mean, it's up to the county board to determine whether they choose budget A or budget B. But if the advisory board's going to make a recommendation, I think our role is just to say, these numbers are realistic based on what we've been told about the operation of the nursing home and the expectations for the next 12 months. And so from that perspective, we support the budget that's been prepared.
Ed?
Well, I'll basically agree with what's been said by Sam and several others. I think budget A is the prudent thing to proceed with. Anything else, I feel we're being a little irresponsible in terms of projecting a sale and, you know, leaving the politics out of it. Even apart from the politics, whether there could be a sale in the next year or not is open to question. Whether it would occur at 6 months or whenever is also quite uncertain. So I would just say we should recommend a prudent budget, which is budget A.
Not on tonight's agenda is a position to, or an item to take a position for recommendation to the county board. Shall I place it on next month's?
I would feel that this item would cover that. It's at least as descriptory as the vote we had Thursday night, which was to talk about a budget. I don't see why we can't have a motion to for a recommendation out of this.
I think we ought to handle it the way we've always handled it, in terms of the voting process. In the past, we usually have had a budget recommendation to us. I guess if that's what this is considered, the timing on it has usually been at a specific point in time. If this is the time to do that, it's usually been on the agenda, things mm-hmm. like that. I don't see any reason to do anything differently than what our practice has been in the past.
Right. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, was there a public opportunity for public participation on a specific vote being taken by this board for a recommendation to the county board? Was that noticed out there? Would have there been public speakers who, you know, would have the media been interested in being here for what that's worth? But we've had...
But the budget is on the agenda.
It's on the agenda, and next week is the committee of the whole to look at this. So if we don't take a vote tonight and put it off till November meeting, we're not going to get any recommendation to them at all.
If I can finish. Those were my thoughts, and I wanted to share them with you. As this was materializing, I'm thinking, are we doing what's right under the Open Meetings Act? I think we'll do no harm if we take a vote tonight.
Well,
so,
in fact,
I just wanted to share with you my thinking on this, and I'm willing to support taking a vote on whether or not this board recommends the Plan A budget or Plan B to the county board as an advisory board, as it's been presented by the same administrator who made the same presentation during the meeting last week. So, that being said.
Well, and that was, my recollection was that was one reason we scheduled the meeting for this week, because which should have provided some of the awareness to the media, for example. At the last meeting, we said we really need to be making recommendation before the board meeting, so we said let's go ahead and schedule it for this week instead of our usual week so that we could get in ahead of the legislature.
Actually, we have a holiday next week, so that was the main reason for rescheduling.
But we moved
but
it
we
up
moved
so
it
we
up.
Had the advisory
right.
before the committee of the whole
it.
Meeting.
Right. I mean, that was part of the discussion that's even to some extent reflected in the minutes. I was surprised that there wasn't action, but I think, as Sam said, that we our actions are only advisory anyway, and it was on the agenda that we'd be doing the budget, so I feel like as long as we make a recommendation following kind of the pattern we've used in the past.
And the minutes from the last meeting says Mr.
Right.
Snyder explained he will present two options. So, you know, we're on record
right.
as considering two options.
So what I would suggest then is we get someone to make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
And that motion is?
And once we make a motion and we get a second, then we have an opportunity for additional discussion.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so I move that we recommend moving ahead with budget A for 2018 budget.
For a recommendation to the county.
Right. I'll second.
For the reasons stated earlier during the discussion that you had made, and Josh, the others who support. And we have a second.
More eloquent than I.
Any discussion on that?
I have a couple of questions on the budget that I'd like to ask as part of the discussion, just to make sure that I have confidence. It's not that I don't have confidence, but I'm trying to understand all of this. So under budget A?
there is not revenue for hospice, and I just wonder why that is. Are we not going to do the hospice contract, or is it just wrapped into something else? It's so it's line item 345-19.
There's if you go under this is revenue.
Yeah,
revenue. Under property taxes, 1/3 one down, it has nursing home care, hospice patients.
What line is that?
Yeah, what line is that?
Under the nursing home, this is the first page.
Line item.
What line item?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't read it. 345-19.
That's what she's talking about.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm.
Well, it's empty under plans A and B.
Oh.
So, is it possibly a mistake that would need to be corrected?
It may not have come over. I don't know.
Yeah, we have to be with Tammy and ask her what happened with that.
But that would affect the bottom line of revenue,
right?
Yeah, my guess is it's someplace else.
That's kind of what I think too. But I wonder
because we went through line by line.
The total of $3,000 positive—that's our number.
Right, and I suspect it's someplace else too, but I also thought the same thing that Deb just came up with. If it's not, there's another $345,000 or so.
Okay, maybe it's in Medicaid?
Yeah, it could be.
Because
it should not be
substantial.
22 through 29.
It should not be in Medicaid. It'd be a Medicare number, if anything. I mean, hospice is a Medicare.
We'll find it.
Okay, so I would leave that as a question to be resolved,
yeah. Hopefully it can be resolved before it comes back to the county board.
Right. And then, and this is, again, purely a question just to try to get understand. So the nursing home care Medicaid patients is, excuse me, don't.
Allergy season. Don't
want to come, huh? Yeah, that's right. So nursing home Medicaid patients revenue is up compared to 2017 projected, but pretty much at the 2016 level, and I'm thinking that's
the census is up.
And so it's mostly in Medicaid,
right?
Is that okay? That was what I wondered. And then not a big deal, but and so maybe you would just answer that under the nursing home private insurance patients. That's way down. It's way down from 2017, way down compared to previous years.
Yeah, so in the past years, the Medicaid pending was in private.
Oh, okay.
Moved it out.
Okay. So then it would be now under Medicaid.
Right.
That's
right.
Another reason for Medicaid being higher.
Right.
That was somewhat of a mistake that was done.
Yeah, but that probably doesn't count for some of the increase in the Medicaid
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so
Well, that would lead you to believe that there's revenue missing. It isn't reflected here when you look at everything else.
It would lead you to believe what?
That 300,000 that you identified is just missing revenue.
We need to identify the hospice.
Yeah.
We'll
get
to you.
Okay.
The good thing is it's more now.
Yes, it would only
exactly.
make the numbers seven.
Yeah, it'll only be good, right. And I was just a little surprised under, I'm not feeling critical about it, I'm just trying to understand it, under 511 regular full-time employees, that expense is up compared to projected 2017, and it's really up quite a bit compared to 2016 actual. And I know that you have reduced some
overtime.
Yeah, overtime and other things, so I'm trying to understand why that would be that high.
I think on those compensation line items, you really have to look at the total, the under personnel, which is.
Plus, we've just increased the employment salaries this year.
Well, did you get rid of the no benefit? Did you get rid of some of the no benefit employment allowances?
Well, those were contracted.
Right, and did you change some of that?
We did.
Because that's down.
It's zero, right?
Yeah.
We did, we got rid of the contract.
Right, and I'm thinking next, the no benefit part-time.
No benefit full-time is down half a million.
Right.
So that, I think that means that that's now in regular full-time, which is the one you're looking at.
Yeah, overtime's down quite a bit, overtime.
A little over half a million as well.
Right, it's almost 600.
Yeah, exactly, actually, again, I would have thought, given the lower census, that it would have been, and I agree with you, you have to kind of look at the whole thing. So yeah, overall, you'd be down, okay. You're still ahead of 2017projected, but not much, not really, right?
Yes, 16 and 17 is quite.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. Okay, that's all my questions, I'm sorry. Doesn't change my motion. The only thing, way it would change my motion is to say, to make sure that our approval is based on.
We'll double check the hospice and get back to Tammy with those numbers.
Okay, we have a motion, second, time for the vote. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. Unanimous. All right, we'll move on to the next item, which is the next meeting, to be held on Monday, November 13th at 6 p.m., same place. And at this point, I'm due for adjournment.
Thank you.